From WHQR Public Media in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. New Hanover Regional Medical Center is exploring whether to sell, create a partnership, reorganize, or remain independent. Local officials, which include NHRMC board members and administrators, New Hanover County commissioners, and members of a partnership advisory group chartered by the county, say the need for a sound financial plan, especially for a hospital serving seven counties, is critical. The explosive growth in the Cape Fear region, the increase in operating expenses, and political uncertainties might make the case for a sale or partnership. While New Hanover County is healthier than neighboring counties, according to recent state health rankings, more than 50% of NHRMC patients come from outside New Hanover County. That leaves NHRMC with the burden, according to the Partnership Advisory Group, for improving care and wellness in areas that have some of the worst health outcomes in the state. A hospital sale, however, would face strong public opposition, not least because of the case studies that show hospital consolidations lead to higher health care costs. Whether those deals also tend to lower the quality of health care is still in question. But on January 2, 2020, the New England Journal of Medicine published a study examining changes in quality of care after hospital mergers and acquisitions. It concludes hospital acquisition by another hospital or hospital system was associated with modestly worse patient experiences and no significant changes in readmission or mortality rates. Opponents of selling the hospital also argue that once the deal is done, a major local government asset is not only gone, it's gone for good. And there's a compelling test case going on in the western part of the state. In 2019, Mission Health in Asheville, North Carolina, sold to HCA Healthcare. Community meetings have drawn around 600 stakeholders. The feedback coming from these meetings is not good. Complaints center on aggressive cuts to services in the community, personnel within the hospital, and the closing of facilities. Critics say HCA is not keeping its promises. Proposals for partnership or purchase of NHRMC are due by March 16th, and today we're going to explore what we've learned so far with the two co-chairs of the Partnership Advisory Group in the second half of the program. Joining me now are two members of Save Our Hospital, a nonprofit launched in 2019 as a response to the county's resolution of intent to sell. Gene Merritt, a longtime Wilmington resident, developer, and stakeholder, is the founder and president of Save Our Hospital. Gene Merritt, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Alex Hall served three terms in the North Carolina House of Representatives. In his last year in the legislature, he chaired the House Finance Committee. He's an attorney specializing in personal injury, wrongful death, and criminal law, and he's with us today as a representative of Save Our Hospital. Alex Hall, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
And we are inviting you to join the conversation during the live Wednesday discussion. Do you support or oppose the sale of NHRMC? Why? What questions do you think still need to be answered? Email us at coastline@whqr.org. Gene Merritt, why do you think selling NHRMC is such a bad idea?
Well, based on all of the research that we have done, and we have quite a few intelligent people helping us and knowledgeable in this field, that we feel that selling the hospital outright would create a loss of jobs, higher prices for health care, and possibly a lower quality of service. Those are the things that we fear the most.
The Partnership Advisory Group was charged with finding the right way forward, and I'm going to ask them more specifically later how they define their charter. But you have changed in your thinking in terms of your basic faith in what they're doing.
I think originally we kind of felt that anytime you're in a hurry to do anything, I have a little bit of concern myself about anyone that's in a hurry, that I don't fully trust their motives or their reasons for doing whatever they're doing. This was all done originally in secrecy and in private, and there was a certain air of distrust in the community, we think, about this. The PAG, I think, because of the public outcry, I think the county and the hospital have opened up the PAG to have more people in it and to be more inclusive and more open. And I believe that's beginning to have a very positive effect that we did not think was realistic to begin with, but now we are beginning to think that things are working out fairly well, much better than we originally had thought.
But Alex Hall, you still would say the only good outcome is either remaining independent, not becoming part of a larger hospital system, definitely not selling, and possibly remaining under the aegis of the county. Is that right?
Well, that is my position to start with. When we started this, we did. To give you some background, the discussion to sell the hospital started back in January, February of last year, and it got sprung on the public in July. And then a resolution to put it up for bids to sell the hospital. It was a resolution to sell, not to partner. And so it was put up and voted on in September in 2 months, a $1 billion asset put up in 2 months' time.
Although I have to stop you there because county officials would say that it was called a resolution of intent to sell, but the name of that resolution was somewhat misleading because that's what gave them essentially the permission to explore all of the options, a sale being just one of them.
I hear that, but I don't believe that the hospital was not able to discuss ahead of time what direction we want to take. And I think they had the cart before the horse in putting a resolution to sell before they did the work that the PAG is doing now. We believe that PAG should have formed to decide which direction this hospital needs to go well before they put it up for bids. So I think it was bass-ackwards in
part
the way
of,
they
took, part of
went
the
about
it. Argument for that is they now had permission to generate a request for proposal. And, of course, as we all know, those proposals from the interested healthcare systems are due back by March 16th, but they couldn't have generated an RFP without passing that resolution. And that's the devil's in the details, right?
It is, but I don't understand why the hospital could not have studied which way the hospital needs to go. Its governance, for example, could have been studied well before it put out bids. This is an expensive process for any hospital to put a bid together. And for them to be asked to do that and not really want to sell the hospital, I think is disingenuous if that's what they were doing. But the discussion to start with, from what I understand, was we're going to sell the hospital and we're going to get to spend $1 billion. And that debate has now changed. I don't believe there's anyone that is in favor, except maybe certain county commissioners, of selling the hospital. I think the public is adamantly opposed to it.
And Gene Merritt, go ahead.
Well, I concur with that. I think our biggest concern was that the due diligence that would normally been required in such a huge decision. This is the largest decision that will ever be made in my lifetime in New Hanover County. This is a huge decision to make, what to do with the hospital. We believe that they should have independently called for a performance and management audit of the hospital, then take that into alternative solutions to where they want to go with their strategic plan, et cetera, et cetera. We believe that should have been done before the resolution of intent to sell was issued. And therefore, we think that the public has not had an opportunity to be involved whatsoever in that initial phase of it. Now, to a greater extent, the public is being involved because of the existence of the PAG, which we find to be a very positive thing at this time.
And what has caused you to change your view of that, given the way the news dropped, given the fact that there wasn't any public engagement before that initial news dropped? Why has your view of what the PAG is doing changed?
Well, to start with, given the way this topic got sprung on the public so quickly, there was a lot of skepticism about the PAG because guess who got to pick the members? Mr. Gidsdick and Mr. Condrey, who was the manager
Chris Coudray, the manager
of the hospital. I mean, the manager of the county. And they had been already on tour telling how they wanted to consider selling the hospital. So we were very skeptical. But I'll tell you, the PAG has been very responsive to any of our requests to meet with us. They are considering all options despite resistance from the county manager to do that. I believe that they are going to explore all options. And so we have a lot of faith in the PAG. In fact, they're our savior, in my opinion.
Now, at a recent PAG meeting, Ponder Financial, which is this independent financial services firm that is an expert, I guess, in the hospital industry, presented a pretty bleak financial picture. And it almost seems to make a case to sell. They say to maintain the margin that would be necessary, 3% margin for a good credit rating. NHRMC estimates it would need to keep its current funding sources, which Ponder Financial argues could go away. NHRMC would also have to eliminate up to $340 million in expenses from the system over the next 10 years. That's about 2% of its operating expenses. They've already removed about $250 million in expenses in the past 9 years. Those are some pretty serious headwinds, are they
not?
We
heard that same argument in the 1980s. We heard the same argument in the 90s. We've heard it every 10 years, doom and gloom, and the hospital has done just fine. And what do you think is going to make any worse? Is it going to be any better because they sell it? The new hospital has to go through the same thing.
What do you say to economies of scale, then? Because that's part of the argument
for
a larger...
Well, first of all, I think one of the legitimate possible criticisms of the hospital has been that they've been a little bit involved in what I would call empire building. In other words, growing too fast. And that is a management issue, whether that's true or not. And so if you create a strategic plan that says that we've got to do this, this, and this over the period of years... then the Ponder people basically are number crunchers. They're basically analyzing, based on a set of assumptions, what might happen. So if you have a set of assumptions that are unrealistic or over-optimistic, you can create a negative financial situation. And so one would wonder whether that's a legitimate thing or simply a scare tactic to try to get a sale to occur, which I hope that's not true. And I'm just simply saying that that's one way of looking at it.
Well, it's like me having a strategic plan to have 10 Mercedes in my backyard in 1 year. Maybe I need to consider the strategic plan.
And let's...
Maybe he needs to marry a wealthy woman. Maybe that's what it amounts to. I don't know.
Or a wealthy man, for that matter. But let's talk about the strategic plan, because this has been a recent bone of contention in terms of whether it should be considered even as part of this conversation. What is the strategic plan that you're talking about? Can you define that for our listeners?
We don't know what the strategic plan is. It's confidential. It's simply saying that the hospital says that we're going to need $1.9 billion over the next number of years. What that actually is, we don't know. So it's very difficult to opine on that if you don't even know what that means.
And right now, in terms of this conversation, that strategic, that $1 billion is being held out as an absolute, a necessary part of this equation, and you're saying that should be called into question.
Well, I think they're members of the PAG that don't agree with that position.
What position?
They can't consider the strategic plan and prioritize it. According to the news today, Hannah Gage was not in favor of that. Dr. Rudick thought they should consider it, and so I think they had a lot of courage to stand up to that, and I hope the PAG will do the same thing. I think they need to consider it.
Gene Merritt.
And I think that, quite frankly, all of the studies that we've conducted indicate that healthcare is going to look different in 10 or 15 years, that the old model of what I'd call empire building, building buildings and, you know, all of that sort of thing, may not be as valid 10 or 15 years as it is now or was in the past. And so you've got to wonder whether their strategic plan is accurate in that regard.
Can you explain what that means in practical terms? Why would the need to build brick and mortar facilities in other places, which ostensibly is part of that plan, right? Why would that shrink when
because,
this region is growing?
As we understand it, a lot of health care is going to be conducted no longer in buildings. A lot of it's going to be done through artificial intelligence and through the internet. People are going to start taking their own blood pressure at home. They're going to be doing blood tests at home. Things of this nature are going to be quite a bit different. They may actually involve with Skype or something like that to interface with their doctor. So the need for bricks and mortars is most likely not to be the same as it has been in the past.
Although we are talking about a 7-county service area, and we are talking about neighboring counties that have some of the worst health outcomes in the state, which, wouldn't you agree, puts a greater burden on NHRMC?
Well, you have to ask the question, what is the scope of your mission? Are you there to provide health care for the entire state of North Carolina or for New Hanover County? Where does that start? How big do you need to be? These are questions that I have not seen answered. I think we have to live within our means, so to speak. And another thing I'd like to say is New Hanover County in southeastern North Carolina has more than doubled in population since 1990, the opening of I-40. So I would have to say...
Which you had something to do with, I have to note.
I did, but the point I'm making is that maybe even I could run a hospital under those conditions. I'm being facetious, but the point I'm making is you're in a growing market. And also, a lot of the people moving to this area are retirees, which are typically people that require greater health care services. So the demand is there. And then my big question is and always has been, if we are not able to cope with this problem, what makes it someone else able to cope with the problems that are coming ahead in the future that they like to talk about?
And that's where the discussion about larger health care systems comes in.
Right. In other words, we want to sell it to someone who has enough money to be able to continue to grow the current monopoly that we have now.
You're listening to Coastline. What is the future of New Hanover Regional Medical Center? We're exploring that question and the process local leaders are undertaking to develop an answer. With us in the first half of the exploration is Jean Merritt, president of Save Our Hospital, a nonprofit advocacy group against any sale or loss of local control. Alex Hall, also with Save Our Hospital. You mentioned Ponder Financial and the fact that the case they seem to set up is one that argues for a sale. That's you could argue that's how it appears on the surface, and yet you have faith in the PAG. Is there a contradiction there?
There might be, but the PAG has to look into that and look at all these things that we talked about, and when they make their recommendations. For example, I even saw a model where, I don't know whether it was Ponder, it might have been Ponder, that was talking about possible tax increases. With all due respect, I hear that as a scare tactic, and I don't particularly like that kind of an approach.
Do you think that there's an appetite among local stakeholders to increase taxes if they can retain local control of the hospital? Have you had that discussion?
I don't think we've had that discussion. I think most people are against raising taxes under any circumstances, quite frankly. But again, there is a model out there that might not include the county involvement in the hospital that might work, a community hospital concept that is a private nonprofit corporation that is not owned or operated by the county. I don't know why that could not work here under the right circumstances.
Can you paint that picture for us? Alex Hall, we know that there's a differentiation in these talks between for-profit companies and nonprofit corporations. You're saying a nonprofit corporation that is not a county entity would be okay?
Well, let me... Just to dispel any thoughts that there's a difference between a nonprofit and a for-profit. They're both designed to make money. I mean, if you look at the salaries that are paid to the managers and the CEOs of these hospitals, it's more than any other jobs I'm aware of in the county. So there's really not a lot of difference in a nonprofit and a for-profit. But Gene had discussed with me the possibility of another model, and I think he knows more about it than I do.
Well, let's talk about this model. Paint the picture for us. What would the model be?
The county's out of the deal 100%. The county is no longer obligated for the $350 million bond. The county gives all of the real estate to the nonprofit corporation and is out of the deal 100%. The nonprofit now owns all of that valuable real estate, which gives it leverage in whatever it might do in the future. And then a financing model is set up where they're able to finance their growth and development in the future. The members of the Board of Trustees would be carefully structured to represent the community as a whole. So it would be a community nonprofit corporation. It would remain New Hanover Regional Medical Center. It would be a regional medical center, not a local, but a regional medical center. And it would be successful, in my opinion, under those basic guidelines.
It would be a regional medical center. So would it still be serving neighboring counties?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
And because it isn't a government entity, what would that do to its ability to, say, borrow money?
Well, I think it would actually enhance its ability to borrow money in certain ways. We've done some research on this and believe that there are models out there that would allow it to borrow money.
Do you think that this part of the conversation is being considered by the PAG?
Possibly. We're not really sure, but we think they're open to ideas such as this.
Are you concerned about the upcoming elections? Is this a discussion that you've had? Because I've been hearing, especially when you look at Ponder Financial's case for the enormous headwinds that are coming to NHRMC or that are buffeting it now, it's something of a partisan speculative analysis, and you could look at it through the other partisan lens, talking about losing funding, for instance.
We don't look at it as a partisan issue. It is a political issue. Make no mistake about it. It is a very important political issue, but political in the sense that the final decision will be made by elected officials of the county. So it is a political issue. We do not take any sides regarding Democrat, Republican, or independent in this matter. Obviously, we would prefer that people that got elected would be people that basically are not in favor of selling the hospital. I mean, that would be our prejudice, whether be they Democrat or Republican.
Are you concerned at all about county commissioners voting on a recommendation from the Partnership Advisory Group before the November election?
We believe that that is their intent.
And it concerns me. I mean, this is the biggest decision that I can ever remember. And to make it in a matter of this short a period of time is, in my opinion, unconscionable. And it was never raised in the last elections where these commissioners got elected. It was never raised and as an issue. And I think this they ought to at least wait until the new election so that the people can have a voice in where this hospital is going.
What would you say to the argument that these commissioners were elected and ostensibly their agendas were elected along with them?
Well, they have the right to do whatever they're doing. They have the legal right to do it. I don't question that. So I'm just questioning the manner in which they've gone about it is very much backwards, if you will, from the way normal people would do things.
And I would say it was never an issue. I mean, they do have the right, but they should have told the people, hey, look, I want to sell the hospital. There was so much backlash on that that I think that's a non-starter now.
Do you still think you used to talk about pushing for a referendum on this issue? Is that something that is still possibly in the cards?
Well, I personally think that the PAG needs to finish its work so that the people will know what it is they're voting on in a referendum. If it was just a sale, then I would think that would, if that was the only issue, is a sale. But this PAG is charged with the task of looking for all options, and I think they ought to be allowed to do their work first.
We have an email from someone who says, compare this to the burn plant fiasco and see what you come up with. I believe they built the burn plant with public money with the plan to sell it for a profit, which of course was a drain on the taxpayers. You're listening to Coastline. Gene Merritt, Alex Hall, thank you both so much for being with us
today.
Thank
you for having us.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we'll meet the co-chairs of the Partnership Advisory Group, Barb Beener and Spence Broadhurst. We'll hear from more listeners. If you have a question about the potential sale of NHRMC, email us during the live Wednesday discussion at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. New Hanover Regional Medical Center opened in 1967. Over the last several years, NHRMC has posted consistent increases in its net position. At the end of the last fiscal year, NHRMC posted $107 million revenues over expenses. The year before that, it saw a nearly $80 million surplus. Despite that robust financial health, Ponder Financial, the firm hired by county officials to help determine a strategic path for NHRMC, made this case. The hospital has had stronger than average operating margins since 2013, but much of that margin depends on funding sources that could be lost with policy changes on the table at state and national levels. Proposals from potential buyers and partners are due by March 16th. Today, we'll explore the case for a sale, how this process is unfolding, and we'll find out why members of the Partnership Advisory Group are running commercials about community engagement. Joining me now are the co-chairs of the PAG. Barb Beener is Director of Operations for Coastal Carolinas Health Alliance and has served as CEO, COO, and Senior Vice President in hospitals and healthcare systems over 3.5 decades. She serves on the NHRMC and Pender Memorial Hospital Board of Trustees, the Plantation Village Board of Directors, and has served on the board for the Cape Fear Clinic. Barb Beener, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Spence Broadhurst served as mayor of the city of Wilmington from 2003 to 2006. He is president of the Eastern North Carolina region for First National Bank. He's also a member of the Board of Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina. Spence Broadhurst, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Rachel.
You can ask your own question during the live Wednesday discussion by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. So that commercial that everybody's talking about, let's get that out of the way. Why is that running? Spence Broadhurst.
Well, the commercial that's running is to engage the community. You heard Alex earlier, and I agree with him. This is a huge decision, perhaps the biggest in our lifetime. And so our goal from the advisory group is to get as much information, as much input from the community as we possibly can to make that huge decision. So the impetus for the commercial was just that. Let's get all the information we can and stay focused on the goal and not get distracted by outside noise.
What is the goal? How do you define that, Barb Beener?
Well, the goal is in our charter, and it's very clear that we are to present options to both the New Hanover Regional Board as well as the county as to what the hospital should look like going forward, and not just one option. And I'm going to put it right on the table right now, and it is not to sell the hospital. That is not our goal. It's not what our purpose is, and we are really looking at every option that is going to be available in trying to determine how do we position better with all the things that you've already mentioned that are changing in healthcare.
And this is one of the issues that has come up since Ponder Financial presented its case at the last meeting of the PAG. It's really looking at all the headwinds, and so much of the case that Ponder makes is based on speculative partisan outcomes. Certainly the rising costs are something that can be established now. I don't think anyone would argue with that, the necessary expansion. But then you're talking about whether there will be more uninsured people, the possible evaporation of the 340B federal dollars, lack of Medicaid expansion in the state. If you explore those outcomes in an analysis, why wouldn't you also, if you're really looking at this objectively, explore the opposite partisan outcome and what kind of a picture that paints?
Right. First of all, Ponder does not provide conclusions or direction. Their job is to provide data. And their job is to take the data, use assumptions, and, you know, we can question the assumptions, and I'm quite certain that the advisory group will do that, but they take data, use assumptions, and we're to draw our conclusions. So they're not making a case,
but
they're providing
data. But the assumptions, some of the assumptions in the case are just speculative. Nobody knows. And November is going to be a big determinant.
Right, right. And I think that's the core of why we're here. Why are we having this conversation? There are so many variables out there. Ponder outlines the financial variables, but there are also political variables, as you just described. There are community variables. There are so many variables out there that I believe that has driven the discussion. That has driven us to the discussion. And we're not going to have answers for those variables. We're not going to have answers to it, but we need to understand they're there. And as Barb outlined earlier, our charge is to make a recommendation to the trustees and the commissioners that puts the medical center in a position to be flexible enough to handle the variables regardless of the impact they have on the medical center.
So then are you saying that Ponder's job is in part to look at the worst possible scenario for NHRMC, the worst possible financial scenario, and say,
I don't need
to build an outcome that'll handle that?
No, I don't believe that. I do believe we need to consider that. You know, in life, you know, you plan for the worst, hope for the best. But, you know, I do think we need to consider that. But I do think we need to be realistic. I do think we need to think through it. But we need to consider all the variables that are out there. And it's a lot. There's a lot of information, not just financial, but as I mentioned, political, and that could really affect the performance of the hospital going forward. And, you know, and some people, and I'll just throw this in, you haven't asked, but some people say, you know, hospital's doing pretty well, as you outlined earlier. You know, why are you asking these questions? And I firmly believe that now is the time to ask the question when we're sort of on the top of the mountain, because it puts us in a position of strength where we can ask the questions, give a detailed RFP, which we've done, and ask them on our own terms, as opposed to waiting until some of these variables hit that may or may not. But let's say they do create the headwinds you described. Then we're in a rut. Then we've got to ask the questions. Then we're at somebody's mercy. Now we're directing the process. That's why we're asking the questions now.
And we asked Ponder to validate the assumptions that were made. So there wasn't any doubt whether this was just a made-up scheme or a false, the sky is falling type of prediction, that there's that many variables that are out there. And we listed them all out as to what's potentially a variable going forward.
Although some of those are still assumptions that haven't come to fruition yet.
You have
yet.
To make those as assumptions. You have no choice but to recognize they're out there as potential assumptions.
But you mentioned a couple of the variables. You know the prescription drug reimbursement, and I can't remember the
340B
as an example.
Right,
yes.
As an example, and then also the funding we get from the federal government for being a community
sole provider
hospital. Well, those are projected to continue in Ponder's projections. Those are variables that may go away. If they do, then you ask about a worst case. The worst case is worse than what's presented.
Right.
So there's a lot of moving parts out there.
Yeah. When you look at what's happening with HCA's takeover of Mission Healthcare in the western part of the state, this is something that a lot of people here have been looking at and getting even more worried about, because it almost seems with the feedback that's been coming from these community meetings that their worst fears are being realized. There are aggressive cuts to personnel. And as anecdotal as these reports may be from the 600 or so people who have registered complaints at community meetings and sent letters, they're repetitive complaints, aggressive cuts to personnel, cuts to services, closing of facilities, higher costs. That's terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that? I mean, how can we avoid that outcome here?
Well, I think that first it'll be important to look at what is actually happening at Mission, because a lot of it is very personal and very emotional. There is an independent audit that will happen, I believe, in April, or their findings are supposed to be due in April, that should show us and validate some of what's really going on there, number one. Number two, even if we weren't sold, which I don't expect we will be, and we don't think it'll be HCA, if we had to go through some belt tightening, we're going to end up having to do some of those things too. So it's going to happen for a lot of us, regardless of whether you're sold or not. We're going to have to look at significant cost savings that you can't just achieve by cutting back on supplies.
Sure. And one of the recent areas of debate that has come up is this idea of the strategic plan, mm-hmm. and how much of a factor that is in your conversations and your consideration about the best outcome. It was first stated by new Hanover County Manager Chris Coudray that the strategic plan to the tune of about $1 billion is not part of your conversation and shouldn't be considered a variable. Is that opinion shifting since, as we know, over a decade, technology changes, that means needs change, that means costs likely change. Should that now be considered?
Actually, your statement's inaccurate. The county manager did not say that. What the county manager said was it is not the advisory group's responsibility nor charge to reevaluate the appropriateness of the strategic plan. He did not say it's not appropriate to discuss it. He did not say it's not appropriate to consider it. He did not say, and so as chairs, co-chairs, you know, that's squarely on the table. The strategic plan is the foundation that helped us develop our goals and objectives that went into the RFP. Yeah. So, I mean, we've been talking about it since day one.
Right.
So it's nothing new. We've been having conversations over and over. We've validated our goals and objectives, which came from the strategic plan. So that's a misinterpretation of what the county manager said. He was dealing in a specific procedural issue just to make sure that we understood that what our responsibilities were. But in no way did he mean, and I've had direct conversation with him because I followed up with a comment myself, in no way did he mean it's not open for discussion. I mean, it's the foundation of what we're doing.
Okay, that makes sense. So I just want to make sure that we are clear on that because
it was confusing.
It is.
Yeah.
So this strategic plan that's worth about $1 billion, is that accurate?
I'm not sure. You mean the...
I mean...
The funding of it?
Yes.
It's more than that. Yeah, it's actually more than that.
Are we talking about the $1.9 billion?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so almost $2 billion. So while it is not up to the partnership advisory group to evaluate the strategic plan, is that what you're saying? Can you say it again? Parse the difference between how it's part of your conversation,
right,
but what you're not doing with it.
Yeah, it's not, you know, it is not our responsibility to determine the appropriateness of the strategic plan. The Medical Center's Board of Trustees has spent 2 years doing that. So they've done their job, and so that is done, and parts of it are being implemented as we talk. You know, we've gotten updates in the advisory group of our process and readiness on a lot of these things. So it certainly is in place. But excuse me, but it's certainly appropriate for us to understand where we are on the continuum of achieving those things. And on some of them, we're farther along, and we don't need as much money or time or effort. Some of them, we're not as far along. That's not a measure of the performance of the hospital. It's a measure of where are we in the process. And so I think it's a very healthy conversation that we will continue to have. We'll have exhaustive, I imagine, conversation about where are we on each of these points of the strategic plan. You know, how do we go about achieving them? What does the different ones cost? You know, we've got directional information on that. And then that will help us to partner that thought process with the RFPs to hopefully come up with the best recommendation to the trustees and the county commissioners.
At this point, the Save Our Hospital folks say the only good outcome from this would be some form of keeping NHRMC independent, not necessarily under the aegis of the county, but keeping it an independent, community-owned hospital. We know that there are local government limitations right now. The entity that is NHRMC is limited in terms of its borrowing ability, in terms of its ability, marketing even, right?
Access to capital, marketing, resources, everything is, you know, and I think to put it in context, we're one of the three largest county-owned hospitals in the country. We're the only county-owned hospital that doesn't have direct funding from the county.
We're the largest that doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Sorry, did I say that?
We're not the only, we're the largest.
Right. So we get no funding, even though we are the largest, and we're, and on top of the fact that it's the one county of New Hanover, we serve a seven-county area.
Right.
So the challenge becomes, how do you sustain that? And if we don't have access to funds and our structure doesn't allow us to go out and get the debt we need, regardless of how big your strategic plan is, you have limitations that are going to keep you from being competitive going forward.
But Rachel, your question's a good one, and there's a lot of energy in the community and a lot of energy on the advisory group towards that point, towards local control, independence. But I think we need to decide amongst ourselves, what does that mean? You know, we're not totally independent as we are. We have partnerships in different places already. So this is not a new concept for us. You know, it's taken it to another level, but it's not a new concept. So I think it's important. I think we all feel that way, and that's going to be incorporated into all of our thinking as we come up with the recommendation.
And Spence and I have asked that at the next meeting, we really define what independent means.
Yeah.
And where are we compared to yesterday and where we might go tomorrow.
And Rachel, yeah, I heard Jean earlier, you know, kind of outlining a sketch of ownership, mm-hmm. governance, you know. Well, that concept came directly from a presentation to our advisory group. You know, we got information about different government governance options, and the model he was describing is one of the ones that we are currently considering. So there are several different options that can help us with that governance process, and we've got a lot of conversation ahead of us to pick the right one.
And I have a lot of questions coming in. Jim is asking, who is paying for the Join Us in the Process ads on Wilmington Television?
New Hanover Regional Medical Center.
Right.
NHRMC Orthopedic Hospital was sold a number of years ago. Shortly after the sale, the buyer entertained and eventually sold the hospital to a separate buyer for a significantly elevated price as compared to the first sale. That whole event left a bad taste. I now look at the current process very concerned and skeptical. I've not heard, writes Ron, the NHRMC Orthopedic Hospital raised as a part of the corporate memory and a source of experience. Is it a non-factor in our considerations? I've heard other people raise the concern about a deal getting done that sounds good for stakeholders, and then that owner or partner does another deal with someone else, and suddenly the county is left with no control, or the local community is left with no control.
Yeah, I don't envision that happening.
Why?
I just don't see. I think this is such a unique process in that this is the first and probably certainly the largest that I can find any information that this process is done in public. It's done in total transparency. All our meetings in transparency. There's, you know, to put it out there. So, you know.
And to be fair, that's what the Save Our Hospital representative said. They said that their view had shifted. They were less skeptical
yeah.
about your objective and your purpose. Yeah. However, you can understand why there's this public perception, because it did start in a not so transparent way with this news drop of, hey, look, New Hanover County is going to get $1 billion.
Right.
I mean, that's how it started.
Right. Of course, we weren't there. You know, we came after that fact and can't really address that. But we can address what we can control, and that is our advisory group.
Right.
And our transparency. And once we get to, you know, this, when we make a recommendation, it's not going to be a surprise. It's not going to be an eye-opening. It is a process where we're gathering all this information. It's all done in public. We'll be paring down the information as we go along. And so by the time we come to a final recommendation, it's sort of going to be a public non-event. I mean, everybody's going to know where we're going on this, and everybody has a chance to have their input on it. And if somebody has a concern along those lines, then we need to make sure we address that. But our RFP is so comprehensive, 42 pages, 228 questions. You know, we'll get 10 or 20 of them back, you know, with that information. We're going to cover, you know, we signed up for this, but we got a lot of work to do. You know, we're going to cover all those points.
Yeah, and one of the things that you said to us before you agreed to have this conversation was the public misconceptions about what you're doing and the level of transparency and your purpose in all of this. Barb Beener, I think you said that there still seems to be this public perception that your goal is to find the best possible organization to sell.
Right. Well, and the word sell is what kind of we'd like to believe that we could just put that to rest and be done with it, because very few people now keep bringing that word up, but it is still there. It's the best position going forward for the system, not just the hospital building itself, but other parts of the whole process of how do we deliver the best care there is. And I think that's what we still are looking for along the way.
Jane writes, as a nurse, I know that if the hospital is sold to a private healthcare agency, they do not have to care for anyone without insurance. Does the county have any plans to care for these people when they're turned away from New Hanover? Also, what happens to people who have a retirement income?
First of all, we are all obligated, way back to when we received money to start building the hospitals to take care of those. I mean, our emergency departments can't turn patients away. Second of all,
obligated now under this structure.
Doesn't matter. We would still be obligated. You can't just flatly turn people away from your hospital. And that would be part of the commitment we would make going forward. We have to be able to serve the community, and that's what we're all about. If you then say, well, fine, we'll just bring in a for-profit and they can take care of all the people with money and leave us as a county hospital that's taking care of everybody that doesn't have money, what good have you done the whole system? And so I think there's a real challenge to all of that. As far as the retirement plan goes, very easily stated, and they've said it over and over, that it is in place to maintain the retirement plan as employees are a part of it and have that taken care of in all of the documentation and all of the funding going forward. We have to look differently at those moving forward afterwards, because it may be a different plan for that organization if it were a different corporate entity.
Whether to sell or not to sell, writes a listener, what kind of organization NHRMC becomes certainly part of a large part of the issue. Thing is, private ownership of our hospital will certainly raise costs to patients and reduce both quality of care and staffing. This has been the story of every hospital, he writes, bought and run by the likes of Humana and Novant. Plenty of examples exist of private hospitals putting profits before patients. How much of this analysis and plan is applied to making sure that patients aren't going to get further gouged if the hospital is made private? Now, there is still an open question about quality of care with hospital mergers and acquisitions. There was that study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine early January that said there were a lot of metrics that this study examined, one of them that showed modest worse outcomes for patients was the patient part of the determinant. There were half a dozen other factors. But it is pretty well established that hospital mergers and acquisitions result in higher costs. I mean, that's not really debatable at this point. So what do you say to your stakeholders about that part of the issue?
Well, what I would say is keep in mind, this is not a sell or no sell. We are trying to find the best model recommendation going forward. And it's premature to even have presumptions along those lines. But to answer your question, the RFP deals directly with those issues. You know, to the retirement, you know, it's we have a pension, deal with it. You know, it's when it deals with health care, when we're asking, when our RFP asked for how can they fill a gap in our strategic plan, we're asking not only for them to tell us, but tell us how they've done it in other partnerships and what kind of success they've had, which puts us in a position that if we pare down to a workable number of potential partners, we're going to go ask the question. We're going to ask the question specifically to maybe another partner they've had that's had experience with it. We're going to do our homework.
Well, and I have to say one more thing. The cost of healthcare is not going down right now. No matter whether someone's sold or merged or partnered, every day you turn around, the cost of healthcare is going up. The coronavirus is a great example. It's going to cost us more to get supplies that were coming from China. That's not because we're being sold to a for-profit. The cost of pharmaceuticals, we don't control that either. There are costs that will continue to go up. And we've got to figure out how to manage health that, even better than we manage health care costs. And that's not easy.
Is it ever possible or likely that a referendum would be part of this process, considering that NHRMC was created by voters?
Yeah, that's a political question. We are apolitical. We'll let somebody else deal with the politics. We're going to do our job, and that's to make a recommendation to the trustees and the county commissioners. I am confident that we're going to make a good one.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Spence Broadhurst, Barb Beener, thank you both so much for doing this. Thanks also to Jean Merritt and Alex Hall. Coastline's production team includes Rachel Keith, Doc Jardin, Ken Campbell, and Marissa Castrino. Coastline is a production of WHQR Public Media. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.